And believe it or not, yes, it's been a warm summer. Did you get the memo on that? If you're anything like me and your tongue's been hanging out over the last couple of weeks and it looks like records have been broken and it's not going away anytime soon, although things are a little bit cooler today, great to have Associate Professor Nigel Taylor, Centre for Human and Applied Physiology, School of Medicine at the University of Wollongong. Nigel, good morning. Before we talk about the heat, we're asking everyone this morning, do you have a guilty pleasure of a childhood food that you remember?
Yes, Todd, it was baked beans on toast, but my flatulent father tended to discourage that.
You know, sometimes there's more information than we need, but that is okay. I don't mind. Let's get away from the flatulence and let's get back to the heat. It has been a stonking hot summer, and I think that a lot of people have been feeling it. I've been feeling it. What have you seen? And when we talk about the heat stroke, and a lot of people, you know, don't necessarily know what it is. We talk the word, but how does it affect the body and what is it?
Yeah, you're right. Most people don't know what it is. And in fact, I would go so far as to say that many who should know don't know. We tend to classify heat illness according to some very broad classifications. So the usual types of things that have been used in the past are heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat syncope, which is just effectively getting very lightheaded. What these are really saying is that you're feeling this condition and you're also hot. There's nothing unique about heat exhaustion that separates it from just straight plain exhaustion, except that we tend to be a little bit hotter. What is really important from a clinical perspective is when someone progresses to heat stroke. Now, there's a very precise definition for that, although we have to take really some caution in that. The definition says your deep body temperature is above 40 degrees Celsius. Now, I'll put it to you and also to your listeners that if marathon runners are listening and their temperature does not go above 40 degrees Celsius, then they're plainly not trying hard enough.
Okay.
Because this is a normal course of events. What it's saying is that a body temperature of 40 degrees in a person who you would not expect it to be present in. So, for example, a frail, elderly, very young person who has not been engaged in heavy physical activity. So it's a question of interpreting it carefully.
Well, it'd all be science, really, wouldn't it? Well, you're talking about an ultra-marathon runner, but if you've got someone who's out working on a hot day doing a very stressful job and they're just putting in the yards, then that would be simple physics, wouldn't it?
Exactly, but compounding that is the sometimes overprotective nature that pervades our contemporary society. So you'll see many workers appropriately wearing protective clothing and equipment. Some inappropriately wearing protective equipment and clothing because it's some policy, procedural policy, they must do so. So our ability to lose heat is going to be directly related to the types of equipment we're carrying, which adds a burden, and the clothing that we're wearing. So a firefighter, for example, that clothing is designed to protect him or her from extremes of heat, so heat penetration. Conversely, it prevents heat loss.
Human beings tend to evolve, and we were talking about it off air. I've got a theory that the fact that there are more air conditioners, they're easy to achieve, more and more businesses have got them. Are we making ourselves more susceptible to heat stroke because we're climate controlling more parts of our life during a hot summer?
There's no question about that. That's absolutely what's happening. In fact, the word devolution is used a lot in various administrative terms, largely meaning people who used to take responsibility are now passing that responsibility down to us at the lower levels. But if we take that and apply it to how animals, and in our case humans, evolved, we evolved because we could adapt, and we could adapt to changes. If we prevent those adaptation processes from occurring, then we're reducing our ability to evolve to changes in the future. Now, let's disregard for the moment whether climate change is a man-made event or a natural occurrence. It is occurring, and there's no question that people who do not allow themselves to adapt naturally to that will be less able to tolerate it. Now, there's another caveat to that. Evolution just doesn't affect our offspring many generations down the track. It affects our immediate offspring, that is our children, through a process of epigenetics, which means that if we adapt or fail to adapt, we transfer those attributes or those lack of attributes to our children.
That's a scary thing, isn't it? I think we're trying to be a little bit more civilised, but it's actually causing us problems in the long run. Before I let you go this morning, what are some of the strategies we can put in place to protect ourselves under the baking, stinking hot Australian sun?
Yeah, only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. It's nothing new that we get hot in the summer. It's nothing new that that countries around the world have high temperatures. In fact, we evolved from people living in exactly those conditions. What we have through a whole variety of industrial changes and occupational changes, what we've done is now adapted a European, predominantly cool lifestyle to hot environments. Well, we haven't adapted it. We've transposed it. So why would someone choose to work in the middle of the day if he or she had an option not to? Well, they're employed, and they're employed too, and that's a good reason. But there is an argument to say perhaps we should be a little bit more cautious. So choosing the times of day that we work in, choosing how we do our work, in other words, structure the day so that the heavy work, the more stressful work, is done in the less stressful times of the day, and leaving the more mundane, less stressful tasks to the hottest parts of the day. Clearly avoiding situations where we continually expose ourselves to air conditioning. Not only does that unnecessarily use energy and add to the complication of climate change, it, as you correctly said, reduces our ability to adapt. Of course, when we're getting hot, we can prepare for that by cooling ourselves prior to heat exposure. When we are hot, we can cool ourselves after it. And the easiest way is just to hop in some nice, cool water. It doesn't have to be cold. Just has to be cooler than we are, and we will gradually cool down, and very comfortably so. And sitting in a nice cool bath with a glass of red wine and some cheese is a rather pleasant way to spend early evening.
What a nice way to top it off. Thank you very much, Nigel. Thanks for the heads up on heatstroke, and you've given me a couple of ideas. Have a great day.
My pleasure, Todd. Cheers.
Associate Professor Nigel Taylor, what a great idea. If you're feeling the effects of the heat, glass of wine, some cheese and a cool bath. Fabulous advice. You never know what you're going to hear on the Todd Sargent Morning Show.